Chapter 14. A Last Drink at the Shamrock and Clover. I visited every day, and, slowly, Sam began to recover. One evening, I was walking towards his room when my phone rang. I pressed the answer button without thinking.
Louisa?
Yes?
It's Leonard Gopnik.
I stopped and went very still.
I got your email. So, is this girl doing okay now?
Yes, she's in school. She's living happily with her new family. There was a long silence. I turned away from Sam's room and stared out of the window.
So, we've got problems with the person that we employed,
Mr. Gopnik told me.
She and my wife are not comfortable with each other, so she's leaving at the end of the month. I would like to offer you the job again, but I don't want even more change. I need to know that you really want it.
Oh, I really did want it, but I felt a hand on my shoulder. I turned round to see Sam leaning against the wall.
Did you get another job?
Mr. Gopnik asked.
No, but... Well, you need to think about it. Do you think that you can let me know in the next 48 hours?
Yes, Mr. Gopnik. Thank you for calling. I looked up at Sam. He was wearing a long hospital shirt over his nightclothes. Was that the New York guy? He asked. Did he offer you the job again? I nodded. He pushed his hand through his hair. You have to take it, Lou. I nodded and began to cry, and he put his arms round me.
We have to take our chances when we can, he whispered. And I think that this is yours.
Only you could fall off somewhere this big, said Trina, looking around her at the roof, which was full of Lily's tomato plants and flowers.
It was a beautiful autumn evening and the end of the Moving On Circle's term. I had decided to have a party. I had invited everyone. My mother, father, granddad and Trina, Mrs. Trainer and Lily, Mr. Trainer and Della, and the Moving On Circle. Everyone stood around holding glasses of wine.
Granny made me go and see the baby, Lily was telling me, watching Mr. Trainer and Della.
Did I tell you? She actually came with me.
Oh, and I bought you this. She pulled a little box out of her bag. I opened it to see a beautiful bracelet with black stones. I held it up.
It's to say thank you, Lily said.
I put out an arm and she put it on. I love it, I said. I looked at Lily's eyes that were so like her father's, and thought of everything that she had given me without knowing it. Then I moved over to Sam, and we watched Jake and Lily circle each other.
Half of me wants them to be friends. The other half is very frightened about that, said Sam, laughing.
It was time for the Moving On Circle to give their end-of-term talks. Mark spoke first.
I'd like to thank Louisa for giving us this space, he said. I want to say that although we are a bereavement group, none of us move on without looking back. We carry with us the ones that we have lost.
Then each person in the group said a few words. As I stared at the people that I had come to care for, I thought of Will. I closed my eyes and remembered his face, his laugh, and what loving him had cost me. But mostly, I thought of what he had given me. Next, Lily stood up with a piece of paper in her hand. Dad, I want to say thank you, she said, smiling nervously. Because you gave me a family that I didn't know I had. I love you, and I'll always miss you.
She looked quickly at Camilla Traynor, who gave a small nod.
So, it's time to let go of the balloons, Lily finished.
Everyone nodded, and then moved towards the white balloons that were tied to the seat, taking one for themselves. Lily lifted her arm with a balloon in her hand. She let it go. I watched as Mr. Traynor and Della followed, then Mrs. Traynor, then Fred, Sunil, my mother, Trina, Grandad and Dad, and Sam. We stood in silence on the roof and watched the balloons fly up into the sky until they slowly disappeared. I let mine go.
This place isn't too bad, said Dad,
looking around the shamrock and clover.
What are you drinking, Lou?
I'll have a coffee, please, Dad.
We sat and watched the planes take off.
It was a good idea letting Trina take the flat, said Dad.
I knew that it was a good idea too. The moment that Trina had arrived with her suitcase, I had finally felt okay about the flat that Will's money had paid for.
Oh, look, I knew that he'd come, said Mum.
And there he was, a foot taller than everyone else. I saw him before he saw me and waved.
Oh, he's a good one, that one, Mum said.
I know, I said. The plane was boarding. I left my parents at the bar, and Sam and I walked through the airport in silence.
I'll see you in 4 weeks then, I said, as we reached the gate.
I looked down at our joined hands. But he stepped back from me gently and kissed my fingers.
Look after yourself, I said. Don't hurry back to work. You were really bad at the not getting shot thing.
Louisa. He brushed the hair away from my eyes, and I began to cry. I pushed my face against his and smelled him. And then, before I could change my mind, I said, bye, in a high voice, and turned away from him. But just before I went through the gate, I looked back and there he was, still watching. He lifted a hand.
I love you, I said, silently.
And then I turned away. He would be there, watching as my plane took off into the great blue sky. And, with luck, he would be there waiting when I came home again. Penguin Readers, After You, Jojo Moyes, Level 5. Retold by Anna Truin. Illustrated by Anna Harin. Series Editor, Sorrel Pitts. Read by Jenny Bryce. Copyright, Penguin Books Limited, 2025.